Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we start, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Alan Crow, and he is with Room to Work. Welcome, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Room to Work. How are you serving folks?
So Room to Work is a co-working space, but we fit into what would be called a niche co-working space in that we are more than just office space or meeting rooms. We actually included a warehouse on the back end of the space that really plays well with e-commerce contractors. So we're hitting sort of a different market than what you would normally think of when you think of co-working spaces such as WeWork or Industrious or some of the larger ones.
So now, is the ideal kind of tenant for you, or do you call them member? How do you kind of refer to your clients?
So we do. Everyone's a member. So we sort of, rather than getting an office lease, you end up with sort of joining an office. So we do have memberships. But as far as designating a typical, that's really difficult because we have everything from software startups to e-commerce to contractors, franchises, and even an event planner that are in the space today, as a matter of fact.
But having the warehousing element, I would imagine you would be attracting a lot of the e-commerce folks who kind of run out of garage space.
And that was the original intent. The e-commerce and contractor installer kind of base was the original intent. And that's what we started with. But what started happening, because we took a different sort of approach on the real estate to try to keep the overall cost structure down, we've actually ended up with several tech startups, fairly well-funded tech startups. But we've ended up with a very diverse group of people, ranging from corporate employees that are escaping home from the COVID-19 sort of elements of that. And, the tech startup market, the meeting planner that I mentioned, we just got a wide variety of people that are in the space.
Now, you brought up COVID. Let's talk a little bit about how you're kind of helping your clients get into your space safely. How are you kind of dealing with that? Because that probably wasn't on the roadmap when you opened up initially.
I don't think it was on anyone's roadmap. So, you know, COVID threw a big curveball in everyone's plans, and particularly in the co-working space market, because we're all about sort of getting a group of people together and working together. So the first thing that we sort of did, which a co-working space falls under the guidelines for office space, and there's a whole series of things that you have to do from a cleaning perspective, daily cleanings and a variety of different things that fall under that. So we had to meet that as a minimum. And then we sort of looked at how can we go above that. We actually made changes to our air filtering system to capture, it's actually hospital grade air filters that are in the units now that capture down to a third of a human hair. So it's 0.3 microns, which is 150th of a human hair. So it's actually very small particles that the virus can ride on. So we've tried to create trust, is what it comes down to. People aren't going to come back into offices until they trust that the space is safe.
So now, are you finding people are kind of opening their mind to going outside of their home to a place? Even, you know, everybody has different risk tolerances when it comes to this, and I'm sure you've found just being out and about. Some things are more populated than others. Have you, when someone's considering, you know, maybe they have Zoom fatigue, maybe they're working out of their house and they've had enough and their dog barking and all the kind of normal stuff that, you know, homes were built for, not necessarily working. Are they feeling safe coming to your space?
So co-working is still what would be referred to as open co-working, which is where you would come in and pick a desk and sit down, open up your laptop and sort of work for a while. that's not coming back. I mean, it will eventually come back. It's not come back yet at this point, and people still aren't terribly safe about that element of it. I have people who do it, and the people that are doing it, we're sort of treating almost as dedicated desk members so that they can come in. They have a desk. They always sit at that desk, and we treat it sort of as that's their desk. But the real popular thing that we're seeing is the office space and the warehouse component, because they have a very, very strong ROI. If you have a small team, or you're doing, like you said earlier, working out of your garage with a whole bunch of inventory, there's an immediate sort of return on your investment to go into a small space like this.
So now what compelled you to open this? Were you always in the kind of commercial real estate business?
No, I'm pretty sure it was just insanity that caused me to open this. I actually was a manufacturer's rep for 16 years. I owned a firm that covered the southeastern United States, and we dealt with a lot of small contractors. And so we worked with a lot of people who were very, very good at what they did, but weren't necessarily very good at running a business that did that. So think of a really good electrician who's not very good at running an electrical company. So we started sort of that progress. It kind of started as the idea of self-storage. I found that 30% of self-storage is used by small business. And that progression sort of led through co-working and then mashing all of that together into a space that is very modern, office space, co-working space, meeting space, warehouse space. And I'm talking to you today from our podcast studio here in the space.
So you're trying to anticipate the needs of a variety of folks that could be candidates to be a member?
Well, what I did was sort of look at small business, which I have run a few of them at this point, but look at small business and making that transition from what happens when you start a business on your kitchen table and then get a little too big for home. There's a big gap between running a business out of your home and your first commercial space. And that's what we positioned Room to Work to be, is that sort of intermediate space where you've outgrown your garage or you've outgrown the bedroom and you need a more professional sort of look. You need the functionality of an office. You need the community. You need all of the things that go into being an office worker without losing the independence of being an entrepreneur.
So now you mentioned community. What are some of the things you do to build community within Room to Work?
Well, community, so in a lot of co-working spaces, community is like the number one thing. It is the core sort of benefit of joining a co-working space, is the community aspect of it. We've actually moved community more to a back burner element and let it happen sort of naturally within the space. So we've tried to work the business model from the perspective of providing not just where you work, but becoming integral to how you work. So when we have people in here, they're getting immediate sort of value out of the use of the space, the fact that we can take deliveries for them, the fact that, and I mean, deliveries up to tractor trailer truck load of deliveries, in creating a value to them that is beyond simply a real estate. So community is important and community is developing, but we're not actively pushing that as the number one reason to be here. So it is another very different thing about how we're working versus most co-working spaces.
So then what is the number one reason to be working there?
The number one reason is if you are working from home and you are out of space, and there's actually a video on, well, our website is getting redone right now, but there is a video that will be on our website that, is sort of speaks to that idea that you're dealing with the professionalism of having dogs barking, which you mentioned. You've got the issue of having kids at home. You've got the issue of inventory taking over your garage or employees showing up at your house. That is the piece of it that we're immediately dealing with. And then you take on the warehouse component where we're able to wait for your truck delivery. So if you've got pallets of stuff, inventory coming in, we'll take that delivery. You don't have to be here. So now we become a force multiplier for you where you're out doing what you can do best and we're waiting on the truck for you. So there's a variety of different elements that we're sort of exploring. How do we best fit into somebody else's business model?
So now you mentioned that nobody predicted the pandemic, but we're in it now and the new normal has just become normal at this point. What's your kind of look into your crystal ball? How do you see this thing playing out over the next, the rest of this year and then into next year?
Well, specifically from a co-working standpoint, I think we're going to learn a lot from the businesses that survive and a lot from the businesses that fail from a co-working's perspective. So we're already starting to see a lot of the smaller, local, independent, single location spots not make it. They've basically closed up shop and called it a day. And then we're starting to also see some larger spaces like the Riveter, which is a female only, 7 locations in the U.S. just recently announced that they were going under or switching to a digital platform. So their spaces are closing. So we're going to see a lot of change within the co-working space market. Architecturally, I think you're going to see more private offices and fewer sort of open co-work spaces. You're still going to see the neighborhood kind of feel where you've got different feels or different sort of personalities to different parts of a co-working space. But you're going to see a lot more of the office space, meeting room space type of use. You're also going to, I believe, you're going to see a lot of companies decide to get out of long-term capital leases or long-term commercial leases and get into a model where people are working remotely. And then places like a co-working space become an operational hub for people. So if you're working from home and you're working for a larger company, you need an office for the day or you need a meeting room, co-working space really fits that model. So I think you're going to see some transition from larger companies going to smaller corporate spaces and then using co-working as a hub for their people that are working remotely. And then I think you're going to see a lot of transition as people do startups. There's a figure out that like half of the Fortune, more than half of the Fortune 500 companies started during a economic downturn. So I think you're going to see a lot of people who have been let go from their jobs decide that they are going to start a side hustle kind of project, or they're going to start a full-fledged company based on what they used to do.
So now
working fits that model.
Now, what's the kind of dream for Room to Work? Are you looking to expand? Are you looking to just continue to build out your presence where you're at?
I've made the comment several times that I wouldn't have done this if I thought it was going to be one location. So one location, this is our first location here in Roswell, Georgia, and it is sort of the beta site for what's possible. And we're doing a lot of education. COVID has changed that education a little bit, but we're doing a lot of education around what people really want or need as they start a business and, again, becoming part of their story. So the long-term vision for this is I think we can make a difference in how easy it is to start and grow a small business, particularly a small lifestyle business, which is where you are making enough money to pay all of your bills and you still get to go to the baseball game on Friday night, or you still get to go to your daughter's dance recital or whatever it may be that you specifically want to do as part of your life. So fitting into that model where you can grow a business to the right size for you, that's really where I want us to be positioned, where we are a very neighborhood kind of centric co-working space where there's multiples throughout Atlanta or Charlotte or regional, and we're able to support small businesses as they transition from being a home-based business to being a more everyday full-time business.
So is that expansion going to be self-funded? Are you looking for investors? Are you going to franchise?
A franchise is probably the most likely scenario. I like the idea of catering to small business, and franchises are essentially small business. Once we get all the numbers figured out and all of the hard stuff figured out, I would love to put this into a franchise model. In fact, we have 4 franchises working out of the space right now, so I'm trying to learn some things from them as they use the space. So I like that model over doing something like investors into the space. So
now what do you need more of?
Capital into the space.
What do you need more of right now? How can we help?
Right now, what I'm sort of doing is trying to get the word out. So if you sat down and said, you know, talk to me about co-working spaces, the idea of a co-warehousing space probably is not going to come up. So I've created a model which I believe is extremely useful, but it's not extremely well known. So if you sort of look at, you know, a Google search, people don't even know that there's an option over having everything crammed in their garage. So exposure is one of the number one things that I'm looking for in getting people to sort of talk about the possibility of having a space that can cater to so many different needs in one location. I think it's still going to be a while before general co-working comes back. But I do think that there is going to be a market for that. But right now, that's not the push. The other thing that I think is really important as people start to do more businesses from home or transition to home is the idea of virtual offices, which is a really low cost way of getting access to an office space, as well as getting your mail and all of the different corporate responsibilities with mail from doing registered agent services and things like that are a really important element for growing, starting businesses.
So you're giving the entrepreneur kind of a way to participate at any level, whether it's just they want a mailbox, whether they want to just come in occasionally, whether they want to take shipments. So there's a way to kind of interact with you and be served by your room to work, no matter what stage they're at.
Yeah, until they get to the point that they've got more than five people, six people in the office every day, we kind of cover everything from the idea on the kitchen table all the way up to that point. And I think you're going to see a lot more small businesses that choose to remain small, manageable, but also need that professional image. And that's our sort of sweet spot.
And then as you expand, how you mentioned the franchising element of that and you're educating yourself about that. Are you going to start out kind of in the area here, or are you going to be kind of the one running the Metro Atlanta and then look for people outside of Atlanta?
No, to sort of lay out a plan is a little bit premature right now, but the general idea would be to get this space up, figure out what I know, do a second space here in Atlanta that's larger, figure out some of the elements of that. And by the time I get a third space under our belt that's a little bit geographically diverse from right here in this area, then I think we're at a point where we can start looking at a franchise model. We've got some of the different pieces figured out, and it would be time to start looking at that. So I'm thinking after we get to three spaces, then we'll seriously start looking at the franchise model.
Now, are there opportunities you're finding from the commercial real estate of people that are looking to rent to people like you that want to take over a chunk of space?
So we're actually so a lot of co-working spaces are in sort of the trendy, hip, cool kind of downtown locations. Others are in Class A office buildings or places like Ponce City Market, things that are really focused on high-end sort of semi-retail, high-end commercial space. We're taking a different approach. So we're actually in a what's called a flex office space out in Roswell, and we're taking a low-cost office space and then doing a complete remodel on the inside, which we've completed here. And that allows us to have a lot more flexibility in what our membership pricing is, and it provides sort of the core benefit, not as much glass and glimmer and fancy stuff as some of the other locations around town, but it is very, very core to what you need to run a business. So we are taking an approach that isn't necessarily so attractive to the commercial real estate agents, but it is a unique market in that the owners of flex office space are not getting hit up for things like co-working. So we may have a good opportunity to work with more and more landlords that are in the flex market, because it is a really good model for them that not only fills up space today, but it creates customers that would then move into their own space somewhere down the road within the same office park.
Yeah, it sounds very symbiotic.
I hope so. At least that will be my pitch.
So now if somebody is, or maybe somebody's spouse is encouraging them to explore other options, what's the website for Room to Work?
Room to Work is at www.room2work, the number two in the middle there, room2work.com.
Good stuff, Alan. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and congratulations on your success.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on today.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.